the rays of the Torah sometimes illuminate the darkness of this world. The Gemara in Bava Metzia comments on the pasuk "Koshes Choshech Lihi Loilo," in Bochen Nafshi in Tehillim, that this is referring to Ha'olam Hazeh Shedoyma LaLoilo. This world, living in this world, is like nighttime. And the Mitzvah Sisharim in the Hagdamah Tehsefer explains why, because at night you can make two types of mistakes. It's so dark, sometimes you'll think that a pole is a human being, and sometimes you may think that a human being is a pole because it's not clear. So Olam Hazeh also, people make mistakes in both directions, sometimes in the Mayusa, and sometimes in the Griusa. There's a cheshkes Olam Hazeh that sometimes the clouds think, and sometimes I think that something is a mitzvah and it's really an avera. Sometimes people think that something is an avera, it's really a mitzvah. Take just 50 years ago, the Nazis thought they were doing a gewaldige mitzvah by wiping out all the Jews. They really did it to Shem Shammai. They were going to straighten out humanity. And the nations of the world later on decided that they were wrong, that they were absolutely wrong. So a lot of things like that. That with our seichel, if you don't have the rays of the Torah, as Rabbi Twersky mentioned from the Zohar, if you don't have the rays of the Torah or the illumination of the Torah, some people have a little ray, some people have a lot of illumination, depending on how much the person knows how to learn. So if you don't have any Torah illumination, so you can guess completely wrong. One of the big issues that was debated was establishing the Medinas Yisrael. Whether this, we're talking about people who have illumination of the Torah, whether this is a positive thing or a negative thing. Is this a punishment, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing the Jewish people? Or is this a matana teiva that he was granting the Jewish people? So Rav Soloveitchik, Zochem Lebracha, spoke about this many years ago, and he felt that it certainly was a matana teiva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was granting the Jewish people. He gave a talk in the yeshiva many years ago that he printed later on. He wrote himself and printed called Kol Dovzik, where he thought that it certainly was a matana teiva. This was the opinion of the overwhelming majority of the rabbanim at the time of Hakamas HaMedina, as well as in Europe, when the Zionists were discussing establishing a Medina. There were those rabbanim who were opposed to it. There were many rabbanim who were opposed to the Zionist movement because the prime movers in the movement were not only non-observant, they were anti-religious. So many rabbanim were afraid to let their followers join along in the Zionist movement lest they lose their religious observance. For different reasons they were opposed. They were opposed to Zionism for a different time because of its anti-religious attitude, but just discussing Hakamas HaMedina per se, what was the opinion on that? So there was a minority view that was opposed to Hakamas HaMedina on religious grounds, because the Gemara in the last Perek in Ksubas quotes the Psukim from Shir HaShirim, where it says three times, Ishvati Etchem Reus Yerushalayim, Interirim Torah Yisrael Ad Shetechpot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Jewish people swear about something. All of Shir HaShirim is a mashal, and it's sometimes unclear, sometimes difficult to figure out exactly what it's, what the mashal is driving at. So the Gemara tells you what the mashal is referring to here. The Gemara in the last Perek in Ksubas says that Gimel Shvuas Hashbi'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael, that the reason why it's written three times Hashbati Es Kamen Yosef Shalim is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Jewish people take three oaths. We're not sure exactly when these oaths were taken. Shir HaShirim was written by Shlomo HaMelech, so it was taken before the days of Shlomo HaMelech, or he's saying b'nevuah that it's going to be taken later. A little unclear. Does it mean to be taken literally? That the Taka took an oath? So it should be quoted in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch that these are binding. If it's not quoted, then maybe it's just to be taken as a metaphor, whatever. So the three oaths, one of the shvuas consists, one of the shvuas, the content of one of the shvuas is that we won't force our way into Eretz Yisrael. When the Jewish people will be in Golos, we will not force the issue of establishing a Jewish Medina. So when the Zionists, when the Zionist movement was interested in establishing a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael, so many Hungarian Rabbanim, mainly this opposition was from the Hungarian Rabbanim, they were opposed to it. Many Rabbanim all over Europe were opposed to it because they were anti-religious. They felt that the religious Jews would go to Eretz Yisrael, they would lose the religious observance. nothing to discuss. But even leaving that out, even if we'll all be religious Jews, the Hungarian Rabbanim were opposed because of the Gemara in the end of Maseches Ksuvos, that one of the shvuas that the Bnei Yisrael took to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shavialo Bachoma, that we won't force the issue of establishing a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, the question is, how come none of this is on Agadah? Because I'm on the end of Ksuvos, it's the middle of the Agadah about the importance of Eretz Yisrael. How come the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, no one quotes it? So they say it is quoted by one of the major posts quotes it, Halacha Maaseh, that it's a din. Halacha Maaseh, that's binding, that you're not allowed to establish a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. Who is the major posts who quotes it? The Heilige Megillas Esther. What's the Megillas Esther? Who's the Megillas Esther? Megillas Esther is the chibur on the side. The author's mother died, and her name was Esther. So as he was about to print the sefer, the mother died, so he named the sefer after his mother, Megillas Esther. So the Megillas Esther is a commentary on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvos LaHaRambam, where he tries to defend the Rambam from all of the kashas of the Rambam. So the Rambam lists off what he thinks are the Taryag Mitzvos, and the Ramban has kashas here and there. Every so often he has a hastogah. So the Rambam has three sections. First he has the Yud Dalet Sharoshim, the 14 guiding principles to determine what should count as a mitzvah, and then he proceeds to figure out which are the mitzvahs. He has one section where he lifts up the mitzvah sesse, and one section where he lifts up the mitzvah sloy sesse. The Sefer HaMitzvos LaHaRambam was apparently intended to be the first volume in the Mishnah Torah. That's how they print them now, in these editions, in these two volumes. They have the Sefer HaMitzvos, then comes the Minyan HaMitzvos HaKotzer, and then comes the whole Yad HaZokah. Oh, Yad HaZokah. Every section in the Rambam starts off with how many mitzvahs there are in this section, and then he proceeds to explain it. But the pashtus is, years ago, the Sefer HaMitzvos, even today, the Sefer HaMitzvos is really very neglected. It's not really right. There are a lot of things that are important there in the Sefer HaMitzvos. A lot of things that the Rambam doesn't explain in the Yad HaZokah, which he relies on the fact that he assumes everybody's reading his book in order, of course, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and then you proceed. So the Ramban has at the end of the section of the Mitzvah Sesse, at the end of the section of the Mitzvah Sloy Sesse, he has a whole list of Mitzvah Sesse which he thinks the Ramban forgot to mention. At the end of the Minyan Alavin, he has a whole list of Sloy Sesse which he thinks the Ramban forgot to list. And as he goes along in the middle of the Mitzvah Sesse, he deletes a lot. He disagrees with a lot of things of the Ramban, so that everything works out to be Taryag. He has Ramat Mitzvah Sesse, he has Shasan Mitzvah Sloy Sesse, he throws out a couple of the Rambam, and he replaces several others. So the Ramban has one of his kashas against the Rambam at the end of the section, and the Minyan Hohesen is that the Rambam failed to count the Pasuk and the Chumash, which contains two parts to it, two Mitzvah Sesse, or one Mitzvah Sesse with two aspects, whatever, that the Chumash says, the Yerishtem also the Yishavtem Bo, that we're supposed to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and we're supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. It should really be two different mitzvahs. The Ramban thinks that it should be counted as one mitzvah. Why should it be counted as one mitzvah? There are two different verbs. Yerishtem also, you should conquer the land, Yishavtem Bo, you should live in Eretz Yisrael. Kasha on the Ramban. The Ramban says that the Rambam should have counted it, it should have been counted as a mitzvah says. So why taka doesn't the Rambam count as mitzvah says? So the Megillas Esther, in defending the Rambam, sometimes does like the Migdal Oz on the bottom of the Rambam in the Yad HaZokah. The Migdal Oz sort of signed a contract that he's going to answer all the kashas that derive it against the Rambam. So even if the kasha derive it is unanswerable, the Rambam is just wrong. It's just against the Gemara. Migdal Oz just says no, the Rambam is always right, and he says just turns the Gemara over. So the Megillas Esther also does the same thing. A lot of times he just comes to defend the Rambam, and the Ramban has murderous kashas. He just can't answer the kashas. He says, no, the Rambam is right, and he just keeps on assisting, the Rambam is right. So here on this one, why did the Rambam not count the mitzvah of the Yerishtem Moshe V'shaftem Bo? So the Megillas Esther wants to come up, he has to defend the Rambam. Well, you have to defend everything. The Rambam is always right. Maybe sometimes the Rambam is right, and sometimes Ramban is right. Okay. So he has to defend the Rambam. So he says, the reason why the Rambam doesn't count it is because the Rambam postulated a rule. Only in the Yudala Cheroshim, the first section of the Sefer HaMitzvos, you only count such mitzvahs which are Noagos Ledoros. If the mitzvah is not Noagos Ledoros, then it's only a Dvar Nevuah. It's only a Hayrashot. The Dvar Nevuah doesn't qualify to to be counted as a mitzvah. And the Gemara says in the end of the Ksuvos that Yimel Shavuos Hishbiyah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Jewish people take these three oaths, Hishbati Eskimonos Hishlam, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that we won't force the issue of establishing a Medina. So therefore this mitzvah is not noheges, is not nazer. So therefore it doesn't qualify. The Rambam agrees that such a thing exists in theory, but since it's not noheges, is not nazer, it's called the mitzvah shein noheges l'doros. So therefore it doesn't qualify to be counted in the listing of the mitzvahs. When was the mitzvah noig? When there was a Beis HaMikdash, when Eretz Yisrael was in the Jewish hands, in the days of Dovan HaMelech, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. But Bizman HaZeh, the mitzvah is not noheges. Most of Moshiach, when Eretz Yisrael will be in the hands of the Jewish people, then the mitzvah will be noheges again. So he's the one who says, he's the one who took this Gemara as a real din. The Halig in the Gilat Esther, and defending the Rambam, he's the one who says that we're not permitted. He took that Gemara literally as a real halacha. The Ishbati Eskimonos Yerushalayim, the Gemara Shmuel says, Yishbiyah Kodesh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael, that not permitted to force the issue to establish a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael Bizman HaZeh. Yeah, how did that answer the Kasha in the second half of the Pasuk? The Pasuk contains two parts. We reached the most of Yishavtim Bo, that we should conquer Eretz Yisrael. So he explained why there's no mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael Bizman HaZeh, because of the Gimel Shavuos, and therefore the Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah, so it's not Nehegis Bizman HaZeh. What about living in Eretz Yisrael? There's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael Bizman HaZeh. That's not correct. The Gemara in Ksuvos has all the dinim, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, the Mishnah, and the Gemara, and the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch. People don't study that part of Eben Ezer. Shulchan Aruch has things in funny places. It's not always printed. You can't always find dinim in Shulchan Aruch where you would think one would find them. It's easier. The Gemara of Kal V'Chaimer, you can't find things where you would like to find them. The Rambam is more Masudadik than the Gemara. Like today, and today said it is din al tifnei elohu alilim, that you're not permitted to study any other comparative religions. You told me there's going to be a course in Islam here. There is a course in Islam. There is a pasuk in today's sedra that one is not permitted to study any other religion. So where do you find this in Shulchan Aruch? Where do you find it in the Gemara discusses? In the Gemara it's in the end of Masechah Shabbos. And because in the Gemara it's in Masechah Shabbos, it's caught in the middle of Hilchah Shabbos. Because the Gemara has it in Masechah Shabbos, it's caught. So the same thing over here. The Gemara in the end of Ksuvos discusses a man who wants to divorce his wife, or a wife who wants to get, because one of the parties, they live outside of Eretz Yisrael, one of the parties wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, the other one doesn't. So one stays behind, one goes to Eretz Yisrael. So the husband gives his wife a get. Now the question is, well, who was right, who was wrong, who's responsible for breaking up the marriage? So the Mishnah declares that the one who wants to go to Eretz Yisrael has the correct taina, whether it's the husband or the wife, and the one who's staying behind is the unreasonable partner in the marriage. And mainly he passed accordingly with respect to the Ksuvos. So because this appears in Mishnayos in the end of Ksuvos, that's why it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in the middle of Hilchos Ksuvos. The Rambam reorganizes all the Gemaras and he puts it together with the Inyonim of Hakomas HaMedina and living in Eretz Yisrael and so on. So the Rambam puts it at the end of Hilchos Malachim, where it belongs. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes it the way it appears in the Gemara in Eben Ezra, in the middle of Hilchos Ksuvos. So that's why people are not so familiar with it. But there's no machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. The din is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber quotes the din in the Pesachei Teshuva, discusses the Zman Hazeh. It's just the Taitzus and not Gemara. The Taitzus in the end of Ksuvos quotes in the name of Rabbi Nachaim Kain, one of the Talmidim of the Rabbi Natam, who says that in his lifetime, during that period of history, because there was such a great sakonas drachim to travel to Eretz Yisrael, it would take forever to get to Eretz Yisrael, he can die on the way. And in Eretz Yisrael, it was so difficult to observe the mitzvah of Tzivos Boreh, so the Tosfos quotes in the name of Chaim Kohen, that Bizman HaZeh, in his days, the mitzvah didn't apply. So that's the problem with this Rav Chaim Kohen. What, it was so dangerous to travel to Eretz Yisrael? There were Balei HaTosfos who traveled to Eretz Yisrael and they survived. What, there was malaria, there were diseases. Once you get to Eretz Yisrael, there were difficulties there. A lot of people died in Eretz Yisrael after they came. But Sakonis HaDrachim is very strange. What's so difficult about observing Mitzvah Tzivos? You get a Jewish farmer, they'll observe the Mitzvah Tzivos. What's so difficult? So that's why the Maharit is Sefer HaKiddushin claims that that whole thesis is a misprint. Talmud Torah wrote it and it's not accurate. Even if one should assume that it is accurate, So the Avnei Nezer, who lived 90 years ago, says that it certainly doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. Zman HaZeh is a Sakonas Drachen. We travel all over. We travel all over the world. Why should it be a Sakonas Drachen to go to Eretz Yisrael? But it's dangerous to live in Eretz Yisrael. Some parts of Eretz Yisrael are dangerous. Maybe it's more dangerous to live in New York than to live in Eretz Yisrael. You can't say today that it's a Sakonas Drachen. You can't say it's difficult to observe the mitzvahs are please words. You get any hashgacha you want. You get the badat. You get the something. You don't like the rabbanut. You can get the 50 hashgachas. All the mitzvahs please words. I'm a hajim and I'm a hajim. What should I have to say? So the Zman HaZeh to say, like the Megillas Esther, that the mitzvah, what the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. Of course it applies to Zman HaZeh. So how did he answer the Ramban's question? Ramban asked, how come the Ramban didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? He says, because you're not allowed to establish a medina. But that's the first half of the pasuk. You reach the Mosul to establish a medina. So he says the Zman HaZeh doesn't apply. What about the second half of the pasuk? Yishaftimbo. So true. Some achrayim point out that the ikar mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah b'shleimusa, is when it's fulfilled in the order as it appears in the pasuk. Yirish the Mosul yishaftimbo. When Eretz Yisrael is in control of a Jewish government, then there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. If Eretz Yisrael is not under Jewish control, then there's only a partial mitzvah, then the mitzvah is not going to be b'shleimus. Okay, the Avnei Nezer talks about that in his tshuva, in Chelek Yeredeya. Another Achrayim discuss such a notion. Fine, so it's not going to be b'shleimus, but still there's a mitzvah that applies to Zman HaZeh. So why didn't the Rambam count that? So what the Megillas Esther said didn't really answer the kasha of the Ramban. The Ramban asked, why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah? It gives an answer on one half. In the first half, b'emes, it's not really difficult. The answer that the Megillas Esther gave to the kasha of the Ramban probably never even meant that kasha. What the Ramban meant to ask why the Rambam doesn't count the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam did count that mitzvah. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim starts off. Hilchos Malachim, he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Davchot, Gimel mitzvahs from Tzav Yisrael, if Nisosim Ba'aret, that the Jewish people have three mitzvahs that they have to fulfill in this order. To establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and then second mitzvah is to wipe out Amalek, and then the third mitzvah is to build the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaBchira. So the Rambam does quote that mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So the kasha of the Ramban wasn't really from the first half of the pasuk we reached the most of. The kasha really was from the second half of the pasuk, and the teretz at the Megillas Esther gave was the teretz on the first half, that the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish government doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh because of the Gimel Shvuah. The third, that was never the kasha in the first place. The whole kasha only was from the second half of the pasuk. So that's very strange. Anyway, this Megillas Esther is very schwer. All Megillas Esther we don't understand. The Avnei Nezer says he doesn't understand. These are not the tainus of the Avnei. The Avnei Nezer says he doesn't understand the chlal what the Megillas Esther is talking about. That makes it into a mitzvah shein and a heges l'deres. We have a mitzvah to bring to meet him umasofim. If a person is Machal Shabbos b'shogeg, he has to bring a korban chatos. There's so many korbanos that a person has an obligation. Oshem chatos, oshem tolui. We can't bring any of these korbanos for Zman HaZeh. He's going to say that habuat korbanos, all of the korbanos don't count as a mitzvah, and the minyan of mitzvahs because they're not no hagos l'doros. The Rambam does count all of the mitzvahs of hakrovas hakabonos. Let's say the mitzvahs of afroshes truman. So the Rambam claims that the mitzvah of afroshes truman for Zman HaZeh, afilu b'zman bayis sheni, is only the rabbonos. For the time of korban bayis rishonan, until basically Moshe HaMashiach, the mitzvah of Afrashas Truman is only with the Rabbanan. So why does the Rambam count it in the minyan of mitzvahs? If the Megillas Esther were right, that's called the mitzvah shein and the Haggis L'doris. If you have a period b'zman HaChurban when the mitzvah doesn't apply, so that's called the mitzvah shein and the Haggis L'doris. So why does the Rambam count all of the mitzvahs that have to do with Melech and all the mitzvahs that have to do with Novi? We haven't had any Nevi'im for a long time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's not going to send any of them. It's not just Alfi Mikra, we happen not to have any of them. The Rabban Shalom said he's angry at Klal Yisrael, so he's not going to send any of them until Eliyahu HaNavi comes, before Moshiach. So we don't have any of them as Zman HaZeh. So why does Rambam count Big Dekune, Korbanos, Beis HaMikdash? So the answer is, this is not called a Rosho at Bar Nevuah. This is called a Mitzvah HaNaheges L'doros. If you have a couple of generations, 2,000 years, that the Mitzvah doesn't apply, that happens that it's not knowing, it's not there because the conditions are lacking. But in principle, that the mitzvah on Haggis was there. The Rambam just comes lafuke when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Haremis Matcha Layomus Koeyu, Or he told Bnei Yisrael that they should knock on the next door neighbor's door and ask for matana. So that's only a mitzvah haneheges l'shoh. That's what Rashi said. That doesn't qualify. It's not a mitzvah haneheges l'dorot. But if you have a mitzvah which in theory and principle is noeg l'dorot, the only thing is a couple of generations, a couple of centuries is not noeg. So that's not an explanation why it shouldn't be counted. Of course it's a mitzvah. So the whole Megillah Esther, the Tilei from the whole thing from the top to the bottom. You don't understand. The kasha, why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government, he did count that. That probably wasn't the kasha of the Rambam. Kasha probably was in the second half of the Rambam. Why he did, the second half of the pasuk, why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbi Nezer says there are other answers to that kasha. So the Rabbi Nezer quotes a klal from the Sefer Mayoni HaChokhmah. The Sefer on... dedicated to several Svarim Mayoni HaChokhmah. So one of them is dedicated to explaining which mitzvahs count and which mitzvahs don't count, which is supposed to count and which not. So the Mayoni HaChokhmah has a klal. Whenever the Torah commands us to do a mitzvah in order to lead up to ability to do another mitzvah, so it doesn't make sense to count it twice. If you count the first one, you count the second one, you won't count it twice because it's a duplication. So here also, the Rambam already counted Hachrim Tacharime. We have a mitzvah to wipe out the Zaynumas. We don't know who the Zaynumas are. The Rambam writes the Zaynumas are lost, the Bizman is in. Nonetheless, the Rambam counts Achrim Tachrimim in the Minyan on Mitzvahs, because in principle it is considered a Mitzvah on the Hegel Fuzaris. It happens that Bos and Cher Bilbul is called Olam Kula, so we don't have any Zaynumas anymore. But that's not an explanation. Just because of a historical twist, that's not a reason, again, against the Megillah says, that's not a reason that shouldn't count in the Minyan on Mitzvahs. So the Rambam counts Achrim Tachrimim. So the Avnei Nezer argues, he says, what's the nature of the mitzvah? We should wage war against the Zaynumas. We should wipe out the Zaynumas, then move back to Barapah. After we wipe out the Zaynumas, then we should move back to America. That's the mitzvah. I can't believe it. The mitzvah is Hachrim Tachrim, wipe them out, and you take over the land. So it's Muvah Me'elov, that the mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrim is in order to lead up to the next step, the Yishaptimah, that we should have room to live in Eretz Yisrael without interference from the Avodah Zarah. Without any interference from the Zaynumas. So he says, of course the Rambam agrees that that's a mitzvah haneheges l'dorot, that we should all live in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't count it for a different reason, because he already counted the other mitzvah, Hachrim Tachrimim, and the purpose of Hachrim Tachrimim is to enable us that we should live in Eretz Yisrael. So he suggests maybe that's the reason why. Of course the Mayon HaChokhmah says this, and a different difficulty in the Rambam, so he applies that principle to answer this kasha. Others have suggested other answers, why the Rambam didn't count this mitzvah. But getting back again, there is a Gemara in the end of Ksuvah. Get back again. There's a Gemara in the end of Ksuvah that says, Gimel Shuvos Hashvi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. One of the Shuvos was, based on the three Psukim that are written in Shir Hashem, one of the Shuvos was that we won't force the issue of establishing a Medina. When we'll be in Golos, we won't force a Hakamas HaMedina. So the question is that a real din or not? So the one that everybody quotes is the Megillah Esther. That whole Megillah Esther from top to bottom, we don't understand. The whole thing is Tilei Plon. So the question is, can you really, based on that Gemara, can you really see that it's a prohibition to establish a Medina in Eretz Yisrael? The mitzvah of wiping out the Zaynumas. I don't know. Does it? I'm not sure. The one? They tell a story, they claim that the Chasam Sof once killed a person whom he identified as an Amaleki. It's also questionable whether that's whether the halacha is correct or not. That's what we discussed. Maybe the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is only Derech Mechoma. A private person sees an Amaleki walking down the block, maybe he doesn't have a mitzvah. The Rambam says if you see one of the Zaynumas walking down the block, you have a mitzvah to kill him. I don't know, it could be that it's only in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. It's a good point. You have to look through the Rambam to see. So the question is, what was the opinion of the Gedolim in Europe? The Hungarian Rabbanim, the Bereshim, the Minchas Alozer. The Minchas Alozer has this tshuva in the fifth chelik of the Minchas Alozer, where he's opposed to establishing a Medina. And everything is based on this Megillah Esther. Because Megillah Esther says so, that it's a real din, that you're not allowed to establish a Medina. The whole thing is a Pella. So the question is, leave out the Megillas Esther. What was the opinion of the Rabbanim in Europe? So most of the Rabbanim in Europe were not opposed to establishing the Din. The Agudas Israel used to have Knesios, used to have big conventions every couple of years, and they discussed the issue of establishing Medina in Eretz Israel. So the pilpul that they had was Rav Chaim Eiser and many others, Rav Menachem Zembe. They were just discussing the partition plan, that the League of Nations suggested that we should divide. The Jews wanted a land, and the British had control of Eretz Israel after the First World War. So the Jews wanted part of the land, and the Arabs wanted. So the suggestion was brought up, well, let's divide the land, let's divide Palestine in half. We'll give part to the Arabs and part to the Jews. So the question was, were the Jews permitted to sign such an agreement? Is the Jewish nation allowed to have a representative of theirs sign such an agreement that we're giving over part to the Arabs? Are you allowed to give away Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs? So most of the Rabbanim held, you're not giving anything away, you don't have anything yet. The British have. They want to give you something, they want to give the others something. So sign that you want to take. We are lam tikach. They want to give you something, so take it. Meanwhile, they're giving part to the Arabs. They will come, they will get the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So most of the Rabbanim felt, there's nothing even wrong with the partition plan. And some of them were so tzehit, Yankiv Moshe Chalam, the grandfather of Arab Lustrius Menahel, he and several others were very tzehit. They said, what do you mean a partition plan? The hand should be chopped off who signed such an agreement. You're not allowed to sign a partition plan to take part of Eretz Yisrael because you're signing an agreement to give part away. When they didn't have anything, the British had. Chaim Eisler held that it was a joke. Most of them held, what it was? And he said, to sign a partition plan. They're giving you part of Eretz Yisrael, so you take. You don't have in the proceedings of the Knesset Agdolah, you don't have this taina. The Hungarian Rabbonim didn't participate in Agudas Yisrael. So they were not represented. They didn't tumble there. It's an Issa from Hakamas Amdina, is an Issa of the Gimel Shavuot. So the Pashtus really is that the majority of the Rabbanim, or majority of the Rabbanim in Europe, it could well be that in fact the majority of the Rabbanim were opposed to Zionism per se. Zionism because of the fact that it was so anti-religious, and they felt the people will go to Eretz Yisrael, they'll lose the religious observance, as happened in many, many instances. Many religious people went to Eretz Yisrael, they lost the religious observance. But the question is, were they opposed to Hakamas Amdina per se? Were they opposed to Hakamas Amdina on its own ground, forgetting about the anti-religious atmosphere that was there? So most of Rabbanim were not opposed. The Pashtus, most of Rabbanim were not opposed. That was a minority who were strongly opposed, and they screamed so loud, and they kept on printing their essays, that a lot of people thought that was the majority opinion. So the question is, they already established the Medina. Right or wrong, they established the Medina. So the question is, after you've established the Medina already, so do you have an obligation to disestablish the Medina? If you hold that it was an Issa in the first place to establish a Medina. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Satmar Rebbe wrote in his sefer, that we have violated, the Jewish nation has violated the Megillas Esther's prohibition of the Gimel Shavuos, and we continue to be in violation of this as long as we maintain a Medina, and our obligation now is to dismantle the Medina and give it back. Question is, give it back to whom? Give it back to the British? They're not interested. So he says, give it back to the United Nations. Give it back to the United Nations. That's not undoing it. The United Nations didn't have control over it. That's what he writes in the statement. We should give it back to the United Nations. Kozman, we maintain the Medina. We continue to be in violation of the Gimel Shavuos. So, first of all, most of the Rabbanim felt that there was no Issur of Gimel Shavuos. Secondly, the Stipula, who agreed with the Hungarian Rabbanim, the Stipula writes in one of his essays, that he thought that there certainly was a prohibition in establishing Medina in 1948, that there was a Din of Gimel Shavuos, but he says, but once they establish a Medina, it says, Lacha HaMaisa. Let's say a man is Baal Eish HaSish and they gave birth to a Mamzer. So that's a terrible Avera. Baal Eish HaSish, Chayef Misa, Chayef Kurt, a Mamzer, terrible. So now what are we going to do? Kill a Mamzer. You're going to kill a Mamzer, you're going to undo the Avera? How can you kill a Mamzer? The Mamzer is a Jewish baby, it's Chayef Mitzvah. So he says, true, we weren't allowed to establish the Medina. But he says, once you have the Medina, so what do you mean dismantle the Medina? There's no Issa. he doesn't agree. Right, with all due respect to the Satmar Rebbe, he doesn't agree. So the Pashto certainly is like that. The Pashto certainly is that the establishing of the Medina was certainly a positive thing. It wasn't a punishment. Like the Satmar Rebbe, it wasn't a punishment to the Jewish people. The overwhelming majority of the Chachmei HaTorah at the time of establishing the Medina and after were of the opinion that it was a positive thing, a wonderful thing. Many got excited and termed it Askalta de Geula. Rabbi Cook, who died before HaKamas HaMedina, he died way before HaKamas HaMedina, wrote using such terms, Askalta de Geula, the Balfour Declaration was Reishis Michas Geula Seinu, and establishing a Medina would be Askalta de Geula. So many of the Hungarian Rabbanim used to attack Rabbi Cook in their essays, and they would write, either you have Gula or you don't have Gula. Where did the rabbi come up with this new Einfalder, there's such a concept of a Haskolos HaGula? This is certainly not Gula. Medina Sisol, the way it stands today, is certainly not the Gula. So who ever heard of a concept of Haskolos HaGula? Either you have the Gula or you don't have the Gula. So the Pashto says that Rabbi Cook didn't invent the term. The term appears in the Gemara. The Gemara says explicitly, the Gemara Megillah, and the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin, uses the term Aschalta Geula. The Gemara says, what is Aschalta Geula? The Gemara says that when you have Melchomis, that's an Aschalta Geula. What exactly is that referring to, that Melchomis are Aschalta Geula? So the Chasam Sefer, in his diary, which is published, the Chasam Sefer writes in his diary, there was some kind of war going on during his lifetime, the early 1800s. Austro-Prussian War or something there. He writes in a diary about the French War with the Austrian War with the Prussian War, everybody's fighting and what he did and what tefillahs they said and so on. So he writes that he felt that war was Askalta de Geula. What is that war? He understood that all wars in the world, or the Vietnamese War, all the wars in the world, all the wars in Liberia, where the war's going on, Bosnia, Herzegovina, every war in the world is Askalta de Geula. Even though Jews are not involved, all wars in the world are Askalta de Geula. And the one who follows him is the Minchas Alaza. Minchas Alaza writes about the First World War. The First World War was an Askalta de Geula. Even though it didn't specifically involve Eretz Yisrael, it didn't specifically involve the Jewish people. There were Jews that were getting killed. There were Jews fighting on both sides. But it had nothing really to do with the Jewish people. So the Minchas Alaza was a prominent Hungarian rabbi who died before the Second World War. So he quotes this Chasam Sofer from his diary, who says that all wars are Askalta de Geula. They don't know exactly what that means. The Pashut Pshat in the Gemara, the way Rashi learns it, is that the war about ownership of Eretz Yisrael, that's an Askalta de Geula. When the Arabs will be fighting with the Jews as to whether the Jews have a right to maintain a Medina, to establish a Medina, to maintain a Medina, so that's an Askalta de Geula. So what is Geula? What is Askalta de Geula? So the Pashut Pshat is that Geula means the building of a Beis HaMikdash. Askalta de Geula means that some historical event which is going to lead up to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Establishing a Jewish government in Eretz Israel is step number one in building a Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Rambam quotes from the Gemara. That's the Rambam that we mentioned before in Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, and Ilchos Melochim. The Rambam quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kof on the days, Gimel Mitzvahs Nitzav Yisrael Dechnisos Mevaret. So the first mitzvah is to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Israel, and the second mitzvah is to wipe out the nation of Amalek, and the third mitzvah is to build a Beis HaBchira. And the Rambam quotes the Gemara has to be done dafke in that order. So the Pashto says that the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that's called Geula. That's the definition of Geula. And Askalta de Geula means something that's going to lead up to that. So after the Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael was established in Tav Shin Ches, there was discussion of establishing a Yontif. Is it proper, is it improper to establish a Yontif for the religious Jews? I'm not talking about the non-observant Jews. They want to have Independence Day to celebrate like July 4th. Do whatever you want. But the question is whether the religious Jews should establish this as a yontif. Should they recite Hallel? Should they establish it as a yontif or not? Vintin Salamah said, yes, should they recite Hallel? So there was one of the great goyim Rabbi Meshulam Ruoth, who was at that time a member, he passed away a long time ago, he was a member of the Rabbanut. He wrote the Shas Shuvah is called Mevaser. He happened to be the rabbi in my father's village in Europe, in Romania. He was a very great goyim. He really didn't fit that little village. He was such a great goyim. It's like, I won't give a marshal talk. He was such a great goyim, but he was known as a Mizrahi. He was Mizrahi orientation, so that's why he never got a big rabbanus in Europe. So he was a rabbi of a tiny little village. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, so then he published the Svarim, so everybody recognized what a great goyim he was. So he wrote the tshuva for the Rabbanut, representing the Rabbanut. So he says, do you have the right to establish a yontif? He said, of course you have the right. The Morgan Avraham in Hilchas Purim quotes in the name of the Maharam al Shakar that if a community or if a family had experienced the Yeshua, experienced the Hatzolah, so it's permissible and it's proper and it's recommended that they should celebrate that occasion that year and every consequent year in commemoration of the Hatzolah. And there are people who do that. That when someone is sick and they are Nisrape, so they have a Sudas Hagdoya every year on the occasion. Chayyadim used to have, in the end of the Chayyadim, Hilchas Purim writes that there was a Sreif in his home and almost got killed. So he used to celebrate every year. The Taisus Yontif also was imprisoned or something, and then when they freed him out of prison, the Lubavitch Chassidim always have a frying Yontif, and the Rebbe got out of prison and so on. So they would also celebrate. So you have communities celebrate like that here in the neighborhood also. In Breuer's community, they celebrate some kind of Frankfurt Purim in the month of Adar Rishon or the Shein, I forgot already when it is. Something happened a couple of hundred years ago, so they don't say Tachnun that day. Whatever, they celebrate. So that's what the Kol Mevaser said, that you have the right to establish a Yom Tov Hanas. So he said, yeah, the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Purim said that he quotes in the name of the Tshuvas Maharam al Shakar that it certainly is permissible. The question is the Tzustel correct or not? So Rav Neiria, the old Rabbi Neiria, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neiria, had a strong taina against the Kol Mevaser, that if you look in the Chayyadam that he was quoting, the Chayyadam in Hilchas Purim, he says, Amedvar Mamurim, when does this Tshuvas Maharam al Shakar apply? That's only if the Yontif will be celebrated by a family, by a community, by a village, something like that. But if it's going to be celebrated by all of Klal Yisrael, then Adarabba, from the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah would appear, that you're not permitted to celebrate such a Yontif unless it has something to do with Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's the taina that Rav Neiria had. That the Chayyadim and the Malbim writes the same as well in his commentary and the Megillas Esther, that to establish a Yontif that should be observed by all of Klal Yisrael, the Malbim's in Perek Tes, the Megillas Esther in his commentary, that this Maharam al Shakar is only on a small scale. It's going to be celebrated by individuals or by families or by community. But you want all the Jews all over the world to celebrate. So then it has to have something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the question. If one should really consider this an Aschalta de Gula, so then it does have to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Not only does the Gemara say that they celebrated every time they built the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says that they celebrated every time they improved things in the Beis HaMikdash, and they even instituted the Yontif of Purim, which the next Purim occurred before the Binyan Bayis Sheni, during the period of the Churban Bayis Rishon, during the 7 years of Golus Bavel. So the Achronim are bothered with the Kasha, how can they establish the Yontif of Purim for all of Klal Yisrael if there was no Beis HaMikdash? That should be a violation of Bal Taisa. If you're making a Yontif that should be observed by the Jews all over the world, so it has to have something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Gemara said. So the Achronim suggest, the Nesivus in his commentary on Megillas Esther, also on Perek Tes, as well as the Sfasemes and others, say that the reason why they established the Yontif of Purim is because they felt that that Nes Purim was also an Aschalta de Gula, that was going to lead up to the Binyan HaMikdash. So if one feels that the Mohammed Islami Aschalta de Gula, if you feel that this Mohammed in Eretz Yisrael was an Aschalta de Gula, then you have a right to establish a Yontif even though it's for all of Klal Yisrael. If you hold it's not an Aschalta de Gula, then it would be an Issa. Acharot, then it should be an Itzer. According to the way the Pichodesh reads the Gemara, the simple reading, the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara in Masechus Rosh Hashanah is that to establish a Yomta for all of Klal Yisrael that has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash is forbidden. That's an Itzer of Baal Pesach. So even so, if one feels that this was an Askal to the Gula, so you would have a right to establish the Yomta. The question is, which day should you establish? Hey, Iyar was the day on which they signed the declaration of Hakamas HaMedina, but then immediately after the declaration of the Medina, the Arabs started a war which lasted for quite a while. So maybe they should have established the Yontif after the war was over, after the whole war effort was successful and there was already peace. But that's what others tainted at that time, that hey, here is the wrong day to celebrate. They should celebrate when they finished fighting the war, like the Chashmonai. Used to establish a Yom Tov during the period of the Bayi Sheni. They had a lot of Yomim Tovim during the last years of the Bayi Sheni. Whenever the Chashmonai were victorious in battle, so they would make a Yom Tov. Here also, when the Israeli armies were victorious in battle against the Arab armies, so then they should have established a Yom Tov on that day. That's the question, is that really a taina or not? Is that really a taina or not? Is there such a din that you establish a yontif when your army is victorious? What is that all about, Taka? Why did the Chashmonaim establish a yontif every time they won a battle? So the answer is, Al Tipasht, is because during the period of the Chashmonaim there was a Beis HaMikdash. And when the enemy was attacking the government, they were interested in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. When the Chashmonaim won their battle, they had protected, they had defended, they had preserved the Beis HaMikdash. So just like the Torah requires of us, there's a mitzvah to celebrate when you build the Beis HaMikdash, so too, although there's no obligation, but there is a kiyum mitzvah if you celebrate when you do something to preserve, to maintain the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. And whenever the Chashmonaim were successful in battles, they were preserving the Beis HaMikdash. But it's not that we don't have any Beis HaMikdash. So you don't make a yontif when you win a war. You don't make a yontif when you establish a medina. You make a yontif when you build a Beis HaMikdash, and when something occurs which seems to lead up to building a Beis HaMikdash. So the establishment of the medina, that was the Aschal to the Gula. The Melchama was the Aschal to the Gula. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Melchama is not the Aschal to the Gula. The actual war itself, we're not happy about wars. We don't want to get killed, and we don't want to kill other people either. But the Gemara tells us this similar though, that when there are Melchamas, the Pashim Shatim Gemara, when there's a Melchama in Eretz Yisrael, where the Nekudas HaMelchama is, whether the Jews have the right to control the government or not, and we are successful in the war, then that shows that the whole Hakamas HaMedina was an Aschal to the Gula, and the winning of all these wars is an Aschal to the Gula. We assume everything is going to lead up to a Binyan of a Beis HaMikdash. Can we possibly visualize? Is it possible to visualize the whole Medina going under? Maybe they establish a Medina and it'll all be destroyed. Maybe Rabin will succeed in dismantling the whole Medina. He's really a satmar. Maybe he'll succeed in dismantling the whole Medina, and then we'll have to start everything all over again from scratch. But then it'll be a glowing Muslim affair that the Hakamas HaMedina was not an Aschal to the Gula, because it didn't lead up to the Chiyas HaMolek and it didn't lead up to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So that's what we look into the Ramban's interpretation of the Pesukim and Chumash. The Ramban writes both in his commentary on Chumash and more explicitly in the Sefer HaGula, the little clinches called Sefer HaGula. The Ramban writes that we have two Teichiches in the Chumash, one in Bechukosai and one in Kisavai. And he thinks that the two Teichiches correspond to the two Goliaths. The Teichich and the Chukaisa corresponds to the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Golus Bavel, and the Teichich and Kisava corresponds to the Churban Bayis Sheni and the Golus Edom. And he says, that's all. We don't have any third Teichich. The Rabbi in the Haftarah of today's Sedra, in this week's Haftarah, we read, V'loi notchu od mi'al ad Moslem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. They will never be sent into Golus again. We will maintain Eretz Yisrael forever. Now, what does it mean exactly what the Ramban says, that there won't be a third Churban? But some argue, well, the Ramban meant that there were only two Bati Mikdashes were destroyed. when we'll build the third Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash will never be destroyed. That will be an everlasting Beis HaMikdash. But he never said the Medina will not be destroyed. We don't have any Haftoch on the Medina. So the Pashtus is, if you look in the Ramban, the way he interprets the Psukim, it's not so. But the Ramban points out that in the Teichachin, the Chukaisai, the Chumash speaks of HaShemosi as Mikdashachem v'lo yariach b'riach nichoichachem. The Pasuk speaks about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and we won't have the ability to bring any carbonus. In the Teichachin Ki Sovoi, the Ramban points out, it doesn't say a word about destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. How come? The Ramban says, because the Beis HaMikdash, the Bai Sheni, was no great sheikh to begin with. It was missing so many things. The Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Yuma, there it's above the Yikovdo, that the word the Yikovdo in the Novi Chagai, it's Chosehei, it's written the Yikovei, but it's a Kriyak Sivim reader the Yikovdo. So why is it Taka Chosehei? Elul Hamishu Dvam Shahoyo Bai Sheni Chosehei. There were five things that were missing in the Bai Sheni. What exactly were the five things? So in the Gilyan Ashas, on that daf, Rabbi Akiva Eger refers you to other midrashim. The Gemara lists off the five things. Rabbi Akiva Eger refers here to the other midrashim where they list off different five things. It comes out that there are around 10 things. There were lots of things missing during the period of the Bai Sheni. The Urim and Thummim didn't work. The Ruach HaKodesh. There were so many things missing. Arim. The Arim wasn't there above the ground. It was somewhere else. So there were so many things missing in the Bai Sheni. So the Ramban says the Bai Sheni was missing so much that the Torah doesn't even speak about the Churban HaBai. The Torah just speaks about the Churban HaMedina, the destruction of the Jewish government that had control of Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban seems to understand the Pesukim. The Leinot Shod Me'alad Moslem is a promise that there won't be a Churban HaMedina for the third time. There was a Medina established in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. They had Shoftim, and then they had Malachim, and there was a Churban HaMedina in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Then in the beginning of the Bai Sheni, there was no Medina. There was no Jewish government until the days of the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim had a shtickle Malchus there, and then that was destroyed. So that was the Churban HaMedina HaShniya. And then, when we're going to have a third Medina, then the Torah, then the Nevi'im promised, will no Shuad Me'ala Malchim, there won't be a third Churban. So the Pashto seems to imply, if the Ramban read the Pesukim right, that this is an Aschalta Degula. It would appear that this Medina will not possibly... They gave back part of the Medina. They gave back Sinai, but they didn't give back the whole Medina. It would appear from the Nevi'im that this seems to be what they promised, that this Medina will not be unturned, not be overturned. Bar Kokhba, years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, established the government, and he was ruling the land for a couple of years, and then his Medina was destroyed. Yeah, but in the history books that goes down as a merit Bar Kokhba. They don't write in the history books that he established a government and then his government fell. They write he attempted to revolt against the Roman government. He had an attempt that lasted for 2-3 years, whatever, and then it failed. It was an attempted revolt against the government. But can you say now that the Medina in Eretz Yisrael is an attempted Medina? They're only playing house. They're only playing Medina. Maybe the way they run the country, maybe it looks like they're playing Medina. But Lamaisa, it's a Medina. It's a member of the United Nations. It's a Medina. It's recognized by all the... even the Vatican recognizes it. Even the PLO recognizes a Medina, like all the Medinas. It has a lot of sunnah, but it's still a Medina. It's hard to say that it's not yet, it's not a Medina, it's just an attempt at establishing a Medina. It is a Medina, al-Pipash. So then we seem to have the Haftacha from the Nevi'im, the way the Rambad read them, that this is going to lead up to the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi. This is the first, one of the steps. Muhammad Lahamelach to establish a Jewish government is going to lead up to the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi. Don't know. Don't know. Rabbi Akiva supported Bar Kokhba, but the Gemara seems to say that all the other Tanoim did not. Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Malachim that all the Tanoim supported Bar Kokhba, but in the Gemara it doesn't seem so at all. The Gemara seems that only Rabbi Akiva and all the others disagreed. They said it can't be. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin, the last pair, the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva interpreted the Pesukim in such a way that he thought that that this fellow is going to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. And all the others said that it can't be. The Mashiach is not going to come for a long time.
Just don't recognize it, that one's
if the Jews don't
recognize
the Jews. But how many, what percentage? Less than 1% of the Jews. How many Natura Karta are there in the world? Less than 0.5%. Miyuta to Miyuta. Came out, everybody recognizes the Midas Yisrael. So the Pashto says there are certain years of Midas. So the Kol Mavase wrote this tshuva where he discussed the two issues. So the first issue he discussed was, do you have a right to establish a yantar? So he said, yes, based on the Maram al Shaka. So that's what Rav Neiri attained. What do you mean? The Maram al Shaka only applies if it's a family simcha, or it's a community simcha. But if you want the Jews all over the world to celebrate, so then it has to correspond to the rules and regulations of Megillat Tainus. Otherwise, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, the way the Prichadosh reads the Gemara, should be an Issa, should be a prohibition, unless you don't want to hold like the Pichadosh. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he wants to reject the Pichadosh because he's bothered with the question that over the centuries the Jews who lived in Eretz Israel established Lag BaOmer as a holiday and have great festivities. In Europe, the whole celebration of Lag BaOmer only consisted of deleting Tachnun. That doesn't mean anything. We delete Tachnun every month in Donishtim. So leaving out Tachnun is not no great shakes. That's not a violation of celebrating it. But he says in Eretz Israel, where they make bonfires and they dance and they sing and they have a whole celebration in Meiron on Lag BaOmer, so the Chasam Sofer writes in an early tshuva, Iayashecheli Avatline. If they listen to me and if I would have authority, he would do away with it, because the Prichodesh says, the Pashup Shat in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that you're not permitted to establish any additional Yom Tovim unless they have something to do with the building of the Beis Hamikdash, the improvement of the Hakrobos HaKarbonos, and so on. And then in the later tshuva he says, well, what can I do? They still celebrate Lag BaOmer, so it must be that the Prichodesh is wrong. So if you all like the Chasam Sofer's tshuva that the Prichodesh is wrong, then you have a right to establish a yontif for all of Klal Yisrael all over the world, whenever you feel that there's something to be happy about. So the premise is that the establishment of Medina was a positive thing, not a negative thing. You have a right to establish yontif. But even Afila Naniach, like the first tshuva of Chasam Sofer, like the earlier tshuva, where he thinks that the Pichodesh is right, the Pashup Shat in the Gemara, that to establish a yontif to be celebrated by Jews all over the world, that has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, would be an Isser. Still, the Pashto says that Hakamas HaMedina was a positive thing, worth celebrating, and it wasn't Haschalta de Gula, I'll be Pashto. That's exactly what the Halakha Gemara says, Nochamas Nami Haschalta de Guli. The first one to say that the Mohammed HaShechur was an Haschalta de Gula should have been the Chasam Sofer and the Minchas Aloza. If they said that the Prussian-Austrian war was an Aschalta de Gula, and they said the First World War was an Aschalta de Gula, so HaKal V'Chaymer that Mohammed HaShechur was an Aschalta de Gula. How can they give a chilek and say that the war that had nothing to do with the Jews was an Aschalta de Gula, and this war was not an Aschalta de Gula? It didn't turn out well. You only make a yantar if it turns out well. The Second World War also, they held a First World War, a Second World War was an Aschalta de Gula. Not going to make a yontif over the fact that they killed so many Jews. Yeah, they were tragedies, but it's an Aschalta de Gula. So if you have an Aschalta de Gula and you're happy about it, so then it's permissible to make a yontif. You're not mechuyev. One is permitted to make a yontif. It wouldn't be an Easter of Baal Teis. If you're not happy about the fact that you have a Jewish Medina, it doesn't mean that you have to be happy about everything. Let's say, I assume that most of the people in this class are going to college, or went to college. So it doesn't mean that everything in college you're happy about. Certainly not. There are courses in college that you're not permitted to take. There are courses in college that are certainly forbidden. There are functions that all colleges have, including this college, that are not proper. But you need all the narishkeit to go along with the college, the T-shirts with the emblem, with the dramatic society, with everything, all the goyisha things. That's not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. Dr. Lane keeps on speaking about Torah Mada. Fine. He keeps on speaking about the Vilna Gaon says that to the extent that a person will be lacking in secular knowledge, that he will be lacking in his understanding of Torah. What does the dramatic society have to do with secular knowledge? Music, what the music that they teach, the art, the holy art that's taught the Avodah Zarah with all the other things that they teach in art. So that's the Chochmah. It's not Torah, it's not Mada. So just because people go to college, it doesn't mean that you have to endure to everything that they have in the college. A lot of things in the college are absolutely improper. So the same thing, we are saying that Hakamas HaMedina was a wonderful thing. It doesn't mean that we're happy about the way the Medina is run. No one is happy about the way the Medina is run. The anti-religious people in our school are also very unhappy about the way the Medina is run. No one is happy about the anti-religious position that the government takes. There are terrible things in Medina Yisrael, but it still doesn't mean that we shouldn't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank him over the establishment of the Medina, which was certainly, we assume, a positive thing. And it appears to us it's going to turn out to be an Aschalta de Gula, even if you're not sure. That's what the Nestivus writes in his commentary on the Megillah says. He says they weren't sure. He claims that they weren't sure at the time that they established the Yontif of Purim that it was going to be an Aschalta de Gula. They thought it would be. And they establish a Yontif, and then he claims that later on they realized that they had made a mistake and they canceled a certain aspect of the Yontif when they realized that it wasn't an Aschalta de Gula. So the question begs itself, so how did they establish a Yontif in the first place? Wasn't it an Isra Bal Pesiv? So you see from the Nesivis that you're permitted to establish a Yontif if it appears that it's going to turn out to be an Aschalta de Gula. Even though you don't have a Navi. They didn't have a Navi telling them, because according to the Nesivis it turned out that it was a mistake. It wasn't an Aschalta de Gula. The others say that it was, that they thought it was an Aschalta de Gula, and it was. And it turned out that the Nes Purim did lead up historically to the Binyan of the Bais Sheni. But you see, I'll call upon one thing for the Nesivis, and I haven't found anyone who disagrees, that in order to remove the Isser of establishing a Yontif, you can't establish a Yontif for the Pais unless it has to do with the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. So if it appears that it's an Aschalta de Gula, so you're permitted to establish a Yontif. You don't have to have a Navi to tell you. All of a sudden, people now became so from. We don't have a Navi to tell us. You need a Navi to tell you how to sneeze, how to blow your nose. You need a Navi for everything. There's some Dinam Shulchan Aruch, Dinam in the Gemara, Morgan Avram, no? No one knows how to write a tshuva anymore. Kol Mevasa wrote a tshuva. He said, do you have a right to establish Yom? He's up there, yeah. Morgan Avram quotes Maram Al Shaka. Then the others disagree. They said, no, Maram Al Shaka has no application. So they quoted, well, it's an Aschalt of the Gula, it's a Gemara. So you need a Navi to. What? Why should the Navi have more say than the Kol Mevaser Rav Sineria? We're dealing with the Shaila and Halacha over here. The question is, reciting the Hallel, is that the proper way to celebrate this Yontif? One wants to observe the Yontif. Is it proper to celebrate by reciting Hallel? So again, the Kol Mevaser says he's not going to make any takon. He says we don't have authority to make any takon. The Rav not just pass the Shaila based on person that exists. But he says we have a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer, where the Chasam Sofer writes that Halal and Chanukah is the Araisa. There are two types of Halal. There's Halal that stems from the fact that there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yomtev. That's Halal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. And then you have a Halal and Chanukah that's Zechel Anes. He more draws this contrast. There's Halal that stems from Simchas Yomtev and Halal that's Zechel Anes. It's Gemon Erech and Daf Yud. So the Chasam Sofer claims, based on the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yudalid, the Halal Chanukah Bizman Hazeh is their Raisa, that the obligation to recite Halal every year is their Raisa. That's what he claims. So the Kol Mevaser writes in his tshuva, so I don't have to make any takona. The Rabban Shalom gave us a tremendous yeshua. You don't need a nes. The Rabban Shalom gave us a tremendous yeshua, a tremendous nitzachon, a tremendous matana toivo. So he thinks that Halal, reciting of Halal every year, in commemoration of that, Yeshua should be a chi of the rice. That's what he writes. Rav Tzvi Neiria had a taina, the old Rabbi Neiria had a taina against the Kol Mevaser, a very strong taina. He said, true, that's what the Chasam Sofer writes, but the Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltes, shows from a Gemara in Brachas that the Chasam Sofer is really shver. There's a teretz on the kasha, but the pashtus in the Gemara is against the Chasam Sofer. The Gemara says, beferish in Brachas, that you dalit, happens to be the same daf. The Chasam Sofer's Gemara is in Megillah daf Yudalit, and the Netziv's Gemara is in Brachas daf Yudalit. Same daf, just a different Netziv. But the Netziv quotes a Gemara in Brachas daf Yudalit, where it says explicitly that Halal and Chanukah is only the Rabbanan. So the Pasha Pshat in Gemara is against the Chasam Sofer. So of course the Talmidei Chasam Sofer were bothered with this difficulty. They already heard the Netziv's Kasha, they saw it on their own. So they far emphasized that What the Gemara meant to say was that reciting of this specific text of Halal, the fact that we recite those chapters, that's only the Rabbanan. But the obligation to recite some form of Halal or another every year on Hanukkah, that's what the Chassam Sofer meant to say. That does the right. You can recite other Prokem of Tilim, you can say Yod Yashir, you can say whatever. The fact that you say those specific Prokem that we call the Halal HaMitzri, so that's only the Rabbanan. But the Netziv learned otherwise. He said no, that Halal Zechel Anes is only the Rabbanan if you make a takon. If you don't make a takon, then there's no chiyuv Halal at all. Halal B'Shas Hanes, that the rice, the Baharaya, that the Torah records Oz Yashir, which was recited by Bnei Yisrael on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsif. But the fact that every year on Shvi'i Shal Pesach we continue to recite Oz Yashir, we lay Kriyas HaTorah Oz Yashir, he said, that's not a chiyuv deraisa, that's only the Rabbanon. So if there's a takona, then you're mechuyev. If there's no takona, then you're not mechuyev. That was the taina that Rabbi Neriah had against Rabbi Meshulam Ruam. That's a very strong taina based on the Netziv. So that's the pashtus is like that. That there's no chiyuv deraisa to recite Halal. Even if you feel that it's proper to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, you feel that Hakamat HaMedina is a positive thing, and it's an askal to the gula, and you can celebrate it, you're permitted to celebrate it as a yontif, but to say that there's a chiyuv deraisa to recite Halal every year, that's a little too much of a guzman, a little too much of a haflog. So the pashtus is that if you want to volunteer it, the mehechet eisa, but to say that you're obligated in menatera, that's very sure. But then Rav Soloveitchik used to add on another knesh, there is a gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos. It says that ho'im ha'halo v'sholim v'chol yom ha'rezim v'charef v'megadis, that one is not permitted to say Halal Shalom every day. When we recite on Rosh Chodesh, when we recite Halal, that's only a minhag. So that's why the Gemara says in the end of Tainus that they are medalek, that whenever you recite Halal as a minhag, whenever you're not mechuyev to, then you have to be medalek. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah writes on the side of the written bracha. Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, quote the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, the reason, that's the Pasha Pshat Nigmara, the reason why we are medalek in the Halal on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed Pesach is exactly for this time, because we're not mechuyev to say Halal, there is no chiyuv the right. To say Halal, so then you should only say Chatzi Halal. You shouldn't say Halal Shom. That was the time. Is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh? Why not? Why shouldn't it be a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh? Tosh Yisrael Shafi Hiloyla, the Chesh Kesalam Hazeh. It's a little dark, but some things are pretty clear. Why shouldn't it be a mitzvah? It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh. Why shouldn't it be a mitzvah? It says that there are exceptions to the rule if you don't make a parnas. Okay? The guy doesn't make a parnas. He doesn't have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if the person lives in America, he makes $1 million a year. He's going to live in Eretz Yisrael, the Chalom, he makes $250,000 a year. Azabit Rachmanis. But to say that that's not called making a living, he's not mechuyev. The pashtus says he is mechuyev. is mechuyev to live in Eretz Yisrael. That was the question that was posed over the Avnei Nezer 100 years ago. They asked him, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? The Imtim Tzilayma, that the answer is yes. How come the Gdoli HaChasidus, he was a Chasidish Rebbe, the one who asked the Shadow was a Chasidish at first. So they asked, how come the Gdoli HaChasidus haven't moved to Eretz Yisrael? So Avnei Nezer proceeds to explain that there certainly is a mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh. And then he says, well, the real mitzvah b'shleimusa to live in Eretz Yisrael is if you have yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, not just that you're living in the location, geographic location of Eretz Yisrael. He says, if you're doing something to improve the economy, you're doing something to improve the country, let's say a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, he works on a farm, so he's doing a mitzvah, that's yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Or he works in defense, or he works commerce, industry, he has a job, or he's a Rebbe in a yeshiva, or he's working on Kisveya. So he's doing something productive. He's doing something productive. 100 years ago, there was no Jewish yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So what? How could one visualize Tzadik Achsidish Rebbe should move to Eretz Yisrael? What would he do? So he'll live in Eretz Yisrael somewhere, in an apartment, in a Goyish atmosphere. His Hasidim couldn't live in Eretz Yisrael. There's no way to make a panos. And the Hasidim will send him money from Europe. So the Avnei Nezer writes, that's not really the fulfillment of the mitzvah b'shlei musa. The real fulfillment of the mitzvah is when you have yishuv Eretz Yisrael, when you're doing something productive in Eretz Yisrael. That was his argument. It's not a mitzvah of yeshiva haaretz, but rather yishuv haaretz. The Gemara has a din, Hamavazu is like Vazu is Yeshi Michoimish, yeah. The Gemara says in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis talks about Tzedakah, that you're not allowed to give to Tzedakah more than 1/5 of your total savings. And then the Ramon, Shulchan Aruch quotes it in the Gita Mitzvahs as well. You're not allowed to give away more than 1/5 of your total savings. So some poskim say that that only applies in a mitzvah like lulav, that's where the Ramah quotes it, a mitzvah like tefillin, something like that. So I won't do the mitzvah today, so next week I'll get a lulav. Or next year. Next year, this year I can't afford a lulav. Next year I'll get a lulav. Next week I'll get a pair of tefillin. So I'll miss the mitzvah a couple of times. But what if the nature of the mitzvah is such that if you won't give away more than chaimish of your savings, then you'll just never do the mitzvah your whole lifetime. So a few Achronim say that Avnei Nezer has a tshuva about this also in a different place, not about the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's here in Beribia. He talks about Beribia. But then a few Achronim say that then the klal of the Ramah doesn't apply. Other Achronim say another svara. But here, since this mitzvah is written in the Torah, the Yerishta Moso, the Yishavtem Bo, so the mitzvah of the Yerishta Moso requires also you should wage war. You can lose your life if you wage war. People get killed in a war. So obviously, the first half of the pasuk, there are no restrictions over there. You can't say, not mechuyev to spend more than one chaimish. You mechuyev to put your life into sakana in order to wage a war. So the second half of the pasuk also, the yishavtem bo, even though that's a very peaceful mitzvah, but still, some achrayim write that since it's hemshech, this was in Europe, before they had Hakamas Hamdina, before the Second World War. So some gedolim wrote that they think that since the mitzvah of the Yerishta Moshe cannot possibly have such a restriction, so Yishavtem Bo also cannot possibly have such a restriction. But the pashtus is that that's not really the meduber at all. Let's say if a person earns so much money, but by earning has a job, he earns $1 million. And in order for him, and because he earns $1 million, he lives in a society where he just cannot like tefillin. They're going to put on tefillin, they're going to fire him from his job. But then he'll get another job, the anti-Semitic in that place. They'll find out that he went through the fire. But he'll get another job where he will have to take a cut in salary. He'll only get $250,000 and he will be able to lake film. So the pashtus says that that klal doesn't apply over there. The klal says you're not obligated to give more than chaimish of your savings to fulfill a mitzvah. But it's not giving away more than chaimish of your savings. Get another job and be a mekayim mitzvah. You're clear to do mitzvahs even at the expense of getting a weaker job. Person is not allowed to be a doctor and be Mechal Shabbos because he makes more money. But there is a doctor who is not able to be a Shema Shabbos. In Mechal Shabbos, I'm not talking about treating Jewish patients. That's sometimes Pesuch Nefesh, you ever had, let's say, he has Nochrim. He just, his medical practice requires, he has to be Mechal Shabbos. So what's the heter? He says, no, now he's a doctor, he makes $250,000, he'll become Amalaban in the yeshiva, he'll only make, whatever, $100,000. He'll make $100,000, whatever he'll make. $10,000, whatever. But if he's going to make a living, so what kind of a terrorist is that? What? He's not mechuyev to spend money to keep mitzvahs. Of course he's mechuyev to. It's not the same. Okay. So that's the question that the Achronim raised. If the fellow will argue for the rest of his life, I can't afford to live in Eretz Yisrael, therefore I'm potter from the mitzvah, so it'll turn out he's never going to perform the mitzvah. So some Achronim say that this rule doesn't apply. Amavaz was like the Avinez, and others say the rule only applies if you won't fulfill the mitzvah this time, next year, but ultimately the year after you will be able to perform the mitzvah. But if one is in a situation, just look at him, they'll never be able to perform the mitzvah. So a group of Achraim say that this limitation doesn't apply. This, I think, is the Pashtus. That the establishment of the Din al-Pi Pashtus certainly was a Matana Tova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Very Talmudic. It's like the Nazis thought that they were doing the world the greatest thing, the greatest Tova, by killing all the Jews. And the rest of the peoples of the world later on realized that they were doing a rishis by wiping out the nationality. So the Pashtus over here also is like that. That Hakamas Amdin Alpi Pashtus was certainly a positive thing. It's a pella that there should be even a half of a percent of Jewish people in the world who should think that it's negative, that it's a punishment to the Jewish people, that the Rabbanu Shalom gave us a Medina Yisrael. A punishment. But Dovla Soloveitchik was not so keen about Zionism. He was not so keen about the Medina, but he also said it was a positive thing. Everyone said it was a positive thing. The Rabbanu Shalom gave us a tremendous opportunity. They didn't sing the tune of the Satmar Rebbe to say that it was negative. That it was a tremendous opportunity. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Okay, so we all have an obligation to see to it that we should do something with this positive opportunity. Beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, the Ramban gives you his interpretation of the first mitzvah, Kedoshim Tihiyu. What exactly does that mean? We should be holy. Ramban has this famous comment about the person who is a novel b'shut ha-Torah. He eats blood kosher, and he does everything according to the letter of the law, but it's clearly not in the spirit of the law. The Rabbi Shalom wants us to lead lives of Kedusha. The Ramban mentions as one of the Misholim that he gives is Sicha B'Telo. He talks about Sicha B'Telo. So he says, Omru Olav al-Rab Chiyya Shemosok Sicha B'Telo Niyoma. That's the question, where is that source? Where does it say that Omru Olav Chiyya Shemosok Sicha B'Telo Niyoma? So the Radina Rebbe, the one who claimed that he discovered the Trelas, once had an ASIC, very interesting. He had an ASIC in the year 1884. He writes this in the first page of the Sefer. In the year 1884, he was brought on trial for having violated some the Malchusa or another, and he had in his trial he had to appear in court a few hours every single day during the 3 weeks of 1884, starting from Shabbos Abitamas until Tisha B'Av. And he says, it was so annoying for him, he wasn't able to learn for 8 months. He says this is going on for 8 months. Yes. And the main judgment was in the 3 weeks between Shavuot and Tammuz, that for these 8 months he was so shaken up, he wasn't able to learn. He had to appear in court every single day and argue out his case. So he wasn't able to learn normal things, so he wrote a couple of svarim. So he wrote the light things. So he wrote one paper, a long commentary on the Tzavua of Rav Leizer HaGadol. Then he wrote another commentary that's called Orchas Chaim. Then he wrote another paper on the Eser Mili de Chassidusa Shohenoik Behem Ra'av. The sefer is based on the second half of the sefer. It's based on the Tshuvas HaGoyim HaNikra Shari Tshuva. In Europe, whenever they got a manuscript of Tshuvas HaGoyim, they would publish it right away. So there's one, every collection has a different name. So one of them is called Shari Tshuva. It's not the Shari Tshuva from the Rabbeinu Yonah. So Siman Kuf Ayin Ches in the state of Shari Tshuva, the collection of Tshuvas HaGoyim, lists off the tradition that the Goyim had Esen Mili the Chassidusa the Rav. So he gives you all the Ma'amakavis. Where did the Goyim get this from? So he gives you all the sources. And then he wrote a third chibur, which doesn't appear here, on the chilukei minhagim between Shebein b'nei Bavel and b'nei Eretz Yisrael, which the Maharshal and the Yamshal Shlomo on the end of Bava Kamma quotes. So the Maharshal has, if there's, how many? 30? 50. He has 50. So you have the Shem Agdolim by the Chidor. So he has this whole sefer, this whole kuntres of the Chilukim and Hagim Shebein B'nei Bava B'nei Eretz Yisrael, and has the whole sefer printed there. You have the Yom Shoshan, and Bava Kam, he has it. Plus, he says he collected another 10 or 20 or something Chilukim and Hagim, and he wrote a whole chibur to explain what the Mekoros are. What are they talking about? Some of these things we don't even understand what the words are. About the Chilukim and Hagim Shebein B'nei Bava B'nei Eretz Yisrael. One of them we know the Gemara has it, but the Elaine Kriyas HaTorah takes is a 3-year cycle or a 1-year cycle. So Eretz Yisrael, they had a 3-year cycle, and they only celebrated Simchas Torah once every 3 years. And in Bavel, they used to have a 1-year cycle, and they celebrated Simchas Torah every year. Fine. So that's one we know. Some of them about the Bishalakum, Hashlochat Kisim, Taisis Kotzen, Avodah Zarah. And the other, some of them, we don't even know what the word means. It's written in Aramaic. We don't know what the word means. So he explains the Pirush Hamilas, and he explains what the sources is. Just like over here. So he writes that he wrote these ones. So here in the Eser Mili de Chassidusa de Rav, he speaks about this one. The fifth of the 10 Midas Chassidus of Rav was that Rav is a Talmud of Rav Yudah Anasi. Shalosach Sichah Detela Miyomah. Rav Yudah Anasi never spoke Sichah Detela. Omru Olav al Rav Yudah Anasi. That's a Gemara. And on Rav also, he shows some Gemara. So he gives you all the sources here. And Ois Yud Beis in his commentary, and then he writes, he thinks that there must be a misprint in this Ramban Alater. He says the Ramban writes in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, Omer Olav HaRabchiyah, Shalotzach Sichah B'Tehlem Yomav, Ulai Toi Seif Enoch of Roshonim, Tzach Lish Omer Olav HaRabbi, either HaRabbi or HaRav. But you don't really find anywhere that it says it about Rabchiyah. There's a very long arichas on this, on all the topics, and this one he has a long arichas. On the Sichah B'Tehlem, Dafke Rav, he explains a lot of Gemara in light of this notion. Anyway, this is an important Ramban. We have a big problem with modern orthodoxy today, centrist orthodox, modern orthodoxy, whatever you call them. They're just a lot of these people are just interested in following the letter of the law, but they're clearly not in accordance with the spirit of the law. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be kedoshim. Kedoshim means not to be noble b'shus HaTorah, not to dress like the goyim, and not to lead a life like the goyim, just to give unto God, you pay the taxes to God and that's all. No. And then you can do whatever you want with the rest of your life and the rest of your money. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be avadim, kidei b'nei Yisrael avadim, and eved is kol ma'ashekon, eved kon harabah. Everything that he does in his life, when he sleeps and when he eats and when he drinks and when he marries, everything should be a form of avodas Hashem. That's what the Ramban says. That's what it means, kedushim to you. Everything you do in your life should be in the spirit of kedusha. We should be avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. So most people do not live up to this. Some people don't live up to it in a bigger way than us. The Torah wants us to be not just pushing minhu arayis and minhu avera, like Rashi says. The Torah wants us to lead holy lives, that it should be noticeable, should be obvious and apparent, that everything that we do in our life should be b'chol derechech adoreinu. And one of the very first mitzvah that the Torah gives us as a form of b'chol derechech adoreinu is moira aviyem, ishima v'yaviv tiro. That's such a neglected mitzvah. We're all in neglect of this mitzvah. Talking about myself, we're all neglect this mitzvah. The Amoraim and the Gemara say that It was so difficult to keep this mitzvah. Tanoim Amaron, they said it's very difficult. But we have a mitzvah of kibbutz, we have a mitzvah of morah. Morah means you have to have respect for your parents, to honor one's parents. That's a mitzvah of morah. Mitzvah of kibbutz means to service one's parents. The mitzvah of morah means to give respect and honor to the parents. There's a very strange Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs. The Rambam quotes this mitzvah of morah aviyim. He translates it that you should have fear of your parents like you're afraid of a terrorist, like you're afraid of a murderer who has in his power to kill you. That's the mitzvah of morah aviyim. It's not the way we usually don't understand it like that. We usually understand it to be yiras, not yiras oynesh. We understand usually to mean yiras arevimus. Et Hashem al kach atiro, you should have fear of God. So what does that mean? So that means yiras oynesh. That means also yiras arevimus. But by parents, it means you should have yiras oynesh. You should fear your parents like one would fear someone who has a gun, who has the ability to harm him. Very strange. Anyway, there is such a mitzvah of Mar Aviyim. Part of Mar Aviyim is, the Torah Tanima quotes from the Gemara, that you're not permitted to call your parents by their first name. This is a common violation in America. Many people call their parents by their first name. There's a style in America that the parents didn't want to grow old, their parents want to remain young, so they would encourage their children to be buddy-buddy with them, call them by their first name. It's ridiculous. The parents are going to grow old and they're going to die and the children are going to remain younger than they are. The children are never going to catch up with the parents. The parents are getting older than the children. And we're not allowed, even if the parents are merchel. The pashtus is, some in Yonim of Kibbutz Aviyim, they can be merchel, and other in Yonim are considered bizoyim. That mechila doesn't even work. The pashtus, I would think, that mechila may not even work on this. That if the parents are merchel on their merah, they give you permission to call them by their first name, to slap them on the back and to kibitz with them like you kibitz with your chaver.
What about by
how close? The Gemara in the end of Ksubah speaks about that. That Rebbe left in it, when Rabbi Anasi died, he left the Tzavoah, he zara b'kvoid imchem. So the Gemara says he had to tell his children kibbutz aviyim. Of course they're going to observe kibbutz aviyim. So Naseres HaDibroi, so the Gemara says, no, this was their stepmother. So the Gemara says, that's also their rice. It says, Kabed es tovicho, es l'rabbis eshes tovicho. So the Gemara says, no, that's only Kozman that he was alive. Kozman, the father's alive, so the step-parent is included in the din deraisa es, l'rabbis eshes tovicho, and bali mecha. But after the real parent dies, then there's no longer a chiv deraisa to observe kovet towards the step-parent. So that was his savoy. He requested of his children that they should continue to treat the stepmother nicely. How far it goes? I think the Shach writes the other day about in-laws. He writes about in-laws that it's not to the same extent as kibbutz aviyim of parents. Lower, slightly lower. So the stomach of the step parent also. It should be also kibbutz and morah, but slightly less. From stomach that you make. There is no din of morah. It's a little less. Here the Torah Tanima, pardon me? I think not. I think you're not allowed to. It's American style. In Europe they would never do that. The American style is going to collapse also because the society can't go on like that. You have to have respect for your elders. So someday it's going to have to reverse that. Reverse that. I think so. I think so. Here the Torah Tanima quotes Akasha. If you're not permitted to refer to your parents by their first name, so how come when Yaakov Avinu davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says Elokei Avi Yitzchak? Quotes a lot of Kasha. So in part of the answering the Kasha, he points out, when you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you want to mention your parents, let's say you want to say a tefillah mishaberach or a chayla, something like that, akel mali rachmin, so you're not supposed to give titles for your parents. Adarab, that would be a bizoyin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Uriah Hachiti was considered a Mori B'Malchut when he referred to Yoav ben Tzeruya, the general of the army, as Adoni Yoav in the presence of David. David was the Melech. You're not supposed to be referred to the general as Adoni Yoav. That's how the Gemara points out. So too, if we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we speak about a Rebbe or a parent with titles, so that's improper. So he points out, the Torah Tmima points out, that the Gemara in the end of Brachas has the Nusach HaTfilah that we recite when the Kohanim Duchen. And so on. The other Rebbeinu Shalom, that's Achsidish Nusach. That was composed by Achsidish Rebbe. But the Nusach about the Chaloimah, that appears in the Gemara. So in the Rizan and the Rosh, when they quote that Nusach about the Chaloimah, so they leave out a few words. They leave out the words, they say, Haydei Moshe Rabbeinu, Meinich Adei Alisha, Shem Shapachas Kilos. When you speak about it says Yo Melech Yehuda, so you should leave out Melech Yehuda. You shouldn't say Moshe Rabbeinu, just say Moshe. You should leave out the titles. Achrenim say like that. That's the gear stuff. The Rif and the Rush left it out because when one speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's really improper to use titles. Let's say when they have Tehillim Malei Rachman for a rabbi who passes away, so they say Moreinu Rabbeinu Harav Hagadol Hagoyim. But the Achraim say that that's not right. The Hazonim don't know what the Achraim said. But the Achraim say that that's not right. If you're speaking to God, where you're telling God that this person who died was a Marein Rabbein Arav Agor Lama Pursum, you're not supposed to give title.
If
usually just say Avi Mori. You don't even have to say the name, you know. No, you're speaking Yamod, Avi Mori. Period. You don't have to say the name at all. Just say Avi Mori. It is a title, but you're not speaking to God. You're speaking to your father. Pasuk lehem asecha lo sasu lachem. Rashi quotes from the Torah Kohanim. I'm not allowed to make an avodah zarah for someone else, and I'm not allowed to have someone else make an avodah zarah for me. The Rambam quotes these dinim as well in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and he writes, if I commission someone else to make a dovish avodah zarah for me, I will be lokeh. So the Rishonim have two kashas against the Rambam. The Raivid is masik on the Rambam, and the Sefer Achinuch is masik on the Rambam. They have two kashas. One kasha is that in shaliach levar averet. If I ask someone else to make this averet for me, and they made it, so how does that averet relate back to me? The second kasha is that how can I get malchus? Shouldn't this be a lot shame on myself? I didn't do anything. I just spoke. I asked the other person to make the averet zarah. He made it for me. So shouldn't it be considered a lot shame on myself? Remember Rav Soloveitchik, when we were learning in Morris Sanhedrin in the middle of the sugyas of Avodah Zarah, Rav Soloveitchik thought that the both kashas were not difficult. He said, Ein shaliach dvar aver means a different thing. It means, if there's an Easter, I'm not allowed to kill someone, so I commission someone else to kill the other person. So that's an issue of Yesh shaliach dvar aver, Ein shaliach dvar aver. Marcel Shammai Azokin is of the opinion Yeshalech Barver, beginning of the second Perek in Kedushin, and the other Tanoim have not accepted his opinion. We pass the name Shalech Barver. Here, this itself is the Aver. The Torah says, you're not permitted, this is the Issa. You're not permitted to ask anyone else to have someone else manufacture of a disorder for you. But that's not a violation, that's not in contradiction to the rule of Yeshalech Barver. This is the essence of the prohibition itself. Why shouldn't it be considered a lav sheim bo maisa? Rav Soloveitchik thought that wasn't difficult either. Lav sheim bo maisa doesn't, there is no such din. You cannot give me malchus unless I did a maisa. No, you cannot give me malchus unless the avera that I violated was done by day maisa. Here the avera was done by day maisa. The avera consists of the other fellow making the avera deserve. For me, the other person did it by day maisa. A marshal amad avadayma, Rav Soloveitchik brought from Shammai's opinion. Shammai Azokin, going to one pshat and Rimon Shammai Azokim is of the opinion that Yesh Shaliach Udvarveh, that if I engage someone based, if I ask you to plant kilayim in my field, so I'm like it. So how can I get malchus? Shouldn't that be considered a lav shem on my side? I didn't do anything. So the answer is But the Avera planting the Kilayim was done like day Maisa. You plant it, I didn't. Let's say I engage a Goy. I ask a Goy to plant Kilayim for me. I ask a Jew, he's doing the Avera. I ask a Goy to plant Kilayim for me. So the Kilayim was planted like day Maisa. Says the old Yesh Lev Avera. The Avera was done like day Maisa. So that's called the Lav Sheyesh Maisa. There is no rule that says one cannot get Malkus for an Avera unless he, the Loike, did an activity, unless he did a Maisa. No, the Klal is you don't get Malkus for an Avera unless the Avera was done like day Maisa. Here the Avera was done like day Maisa. The Avera is always manufactured by the other part. Like day Maisa. Torah has the mitzvah of peyor. The mechayev of peyor is the ketsira. The Gemara in Perek Rabbi Shmuel Menachos discusses what's considered a ma'isa ketsira. What if I pluck it by hand? Mishnayos and Gemara tells, what if I pluck it by hand? So if it's such a grain which is normally harvested by machine or by an instrument, and I pluck it by hand, then it's not called a ma'isa ketsira. Or what if I even use a sickle, I'll use machinery, but I'll harvest it before it's fully ripe. How ripe does it have to be in order that it should have a chal shem ketsira? Would it have a shem ketsira if I'm harvesting it, it's a maichal odom, and I plan to feed it to an animal? Would that be called a ketsira? Or no, maybe it's not called a ketsira. So the Gemara has long discussions of all these details, tanaim, different opinions among the tanaim. The Gemara says it's not only a topic of that's relevant to Hilchas Peyah, with the Ketzira and the Mechayev, it's relevant to the din, to the topic in Perek Rabbi Shmuel. In Perek Rabbi Shmuel, they discuss the din of Hakrovas Minchas HaOmer, and there's a din, one is not permitted to harvest any tvua before you do the Ketzira HaOmer, because the Omer is supposed to be Reishis Ketzirchem. So you're permitted to pluck off by hand tvua before you bring the Minchas HaOmer, because that's not called a Maisa Ketzira. So what if you'll harvest with an instrument, but you'll harvest Shachas before it's fully ripe? It didn't yet have Havar Shlish. The Havar Shachas, the Shem Michael Damon. Would that have a Shem Ketzira? So the Gemara says, it's the same Machlegi Satanoim regarding Chiyuv Peyah and regarding Ketzira Kodim Ketzira Saimah. It's a question, when does it have a Chala Shem Ketzira? A discussion in the Gemara. The Sefer HaChinuch writes a strange comment that the whole mitzvah of Peyah Bizman HaZen Eretzel Zonim HaDeRabbanon, as the Rambam writes regarding Truma and Maisa. So that's the Minhas Chinuch has his famous Hastogan that he doesn't think he's right at all. He thinks that the Sefer HaChinuch is wrong. The Rambam only said regarding the original Pasuk says that Chalab is Manas as only Rabbanon because he didn't have Bias Kulchem. When the Jews came back in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period, the majority of the world Jewish population did not come back there to Sol. So the Gemara writes in Ksubas on Daf Chavov that the Chiv Chalab is Manas is only the Rabbanon. The Gemara in the Bavli says that that has no effect on Truma. That's only going to get Chiyuv Chala. And the Rambam, based on some other source, we're not sure exactly where, writes that even the din of Truma, Maisa, Bizman Hazeh, is also only the Rabbanon. Apparently, he thinks that Truma is interrelated with Chala. So just like by Chala, there's no Chiyuv Deraisa because there was no Bias Kulchem. The majority of the world Jewish population didn't live, still doesn't live in Eretz. It's also the same as regarding Truma and Maisa. When they get the Peya, or Leket, or Peret, and Olalos, all these mitzvahs in today's Sedra, it never says in the Chumash at all that you need Bias Kulchem, and there's no reason to assume that it should be related. That's his Taina, he thinks in a Hapachu, he thinks Tum Faker. The Peya, and Peret, and Olalos, and Leket, these should be their Isa Bismanazah. These are the things that we don't keep, no one gives them an answer. No one gives them to their name. They medakteg all over to give Chumas and Isis. They have all the hashgachs, everybody gives Trumas Maisim, but nobody gives Peret and Olos and Leket and Shikra and Peyo. And the Minhas Chinuch is that they're doing wrong, that the Peyo and all of these should be their Isa. And according to the Rambam, the Truma with the Maisa, that's only the Rabban. Torah has a din of Lifnei Iver lo asita michshol. Tosfos writes in the first parak in Avodah Zarah that the din of Lifnei Iver only applies to Yisraelim. We're not permitted to be machshel or nochri. The Gemara says, "I give Eiv Menachai to a Ben Noach. I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver." But a Ben Noach is not muzer on the din of Lifnei Iver. A Ben Noach, a nochri, does not violate anything if he gives me non-kosher food. That's what Tosfos writes. between the Gadim and several other Achrayim take issue with Taisus. They disagree with Taisus and they tain that. What are you talking about? One of the Sheva Mitzvahs been enacted is Dinim. Included in Dinim is, and he said, Lahazik, they're not allowed to be Mazik. He said, they're going to, let's say, this neighbor, the city Mishal, is going to give me a bad aid. He's going to tell me he's an investment. He gets a commission every time he invests my money. So I have $1 million sitting in the bank. So he says, give me your money and I'll invest it wisely for you. So he invests and he moves it from one thing to the other side. And every time he moves it, he gets a commission. And I'm losing a fortune over here. He's doing it all wrong for me. So you're going to say that he has no avera? That's not an issa. They'll put the guy in prison. No? The American government will put him in jail for doing that. That's certainly an issa. That's an issa mazik. He's mafsid me my mammon. So the Achrayim tain it, they're just like that. That certainly is included in the issa of mazik, that's part of dinim. They think that it should also be considered mazik. Let's say, if the goy will give me non-kosher food, he knows that I keep kosher, he knows that I'm Jewish, and he's going to give me non-kosher food and tell me that it's kosher. It should also be an issa of mazik. He's being mazik me on my religious principles. Anyway, Taisa says there isn't even an issa of lifneiver on the other kind of lifneiver. It's not that difficult. Taisa says there isn't even a lifneiver. Let's say if a goy will sell weapons to a murderer who's going to use those weapons to kill people. But Taisa says goy ma not muzan lifneiver. But that the Achrayim have a strong tanya. How can it be? It's not included in dina. It's not included in the issa mazik that should be subsumed under dina. The Nechaz Chinuch has a taina against the Prima Gadim. He forgot a Taisus. Prima Gadim writes against Taisus, forgot a Taisus. The other Achrayim knew the Taisus, and they say the Taisus is wrong. And the taina is Rabbi Yosef Engel. Quotes, he doesn't quote Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Gilyoni Hashas and Avodah Zarah, in the first Perek. Quotes other Achrayim, he doesn't quote the Prima Gadim. Quotes other Achrayim who disagree with Taisus, knowing that Taisus says nonsense. It is a strong taina. Maseilach Rochel Ba'amecho is the Isser of Rechilus. There are two Isser, there's one Isser of Lashon Hara, and there's one Isser of Rechilus. Lashon Hara is if I tell you negative things about someone else. I tell you the other person is a balaveri, he's a ganav, he's stupid, ugly, even if it's not his fault, his or her fault. If I say negative things about someone else, that's an Isser of Lashon Hara. Unless it's Nagel Maisel, let's say you want to go out on a date with this person, and you want to know, is it Bob Cheshbon, or are you going to just waste your time? So if I'll tell you the truth, that she's not for you, so then you'll be spared a lot of waste of time. So then the din is, I have to tell you, if it's Megill and Maisel. I don't have to tell you, she's absolutely ugly and the father is a Mechal Shabbat, I just say, it's not for you. I can say the slightest moment. I have to tell all of the moment. I can tell the lightest moment. And Kartik, that's not an Issa Lashon Hara, whenever it's Megill and Maisel. A lot of times you can never tell when it comes to shidduchim. What I consider a mum is considered a maila by somebody else. I say the girl stutters. The other guy thinks that's cute. He loves the way she stutters. He falls in love with the stutter. So you have to be careful. You say the girl is blind on both eyes. That's not a question of judgment. I say the girl can't see. She's blind. So that's a fact. So if it's negeya, if it's Negev L'maisa, so then it's not an Issa Lashon Hara. If it's not Negev, then it's an Issa Lashon Hara. That's Lashon Hara. Rechilus is a different thing. Rechilus is totally unrelated. Rechilus is that I overheard somebody say about you that he thinks you're stupid. He thinks you're an idiot. So I go back and I tell you that Pliny said about you that you're an idiot. That's an Issa Rechilus. Not saying something negative about Pliny. If I say Pliny is an idiot, I tell you Pliny is an idiot, that's an Issa Lashon Hara, but I'm not saying he's an idiot. I say that Pliny said about you that he doesn't like you or something. So that's an Issa of Rechilus. A lot of people are very involved in these things. Everyone is involved to one extent or another, but there are kat. The Gemara talks about the kat and Sapri Lashon Hara. The people are very much into it. So that's good. The Rabbi Yoin and the Shari Tshuva talks about how terrible that is. People are so involved in Lashon Hara and Achilles is terrible. But even if it's not very involved, we have to try to work on ourselves. It's not so impossible. It's not so difficult to observe these things. There were Jews who observed these things. Now, there wasn't only one person in the first time. There were Jews who were able to live up to the demands of the Torah, not to talk Achilles and not to talk Lashon Hara. It's a real deal. Torah has the din in this week's Sedra, so many dinim. Every half a pasuk, every third of a pasuk is another din. Torah has the institution of a shivcha charufo. It's written in the pasuk right next to the dinim of shatnas in Kilayim. The Ibn Ezra writes that just like there's Kilayim in Behemoth, in pasuk Yutes, Perik Yutes pasuk Yutes, Behem tocholos abia Kilayim, Sot cholos izra Kilayim. There are three forms of kilayim in pasuk yutes. Kilayim in clothing, you're not to mix things that are not supposed to be mixed. Kilayim in animals, kilayim in vegetables, and kilayim in clothing. So too there's kilayim in marriages, that a person should be careful about whom he marries. That if a Ben Yisrael lives with a shivcha harufa, that's an isra of kilayim. Yisraelim should marry Yisraelios, and avadim should marry shpachos. One should be careful about shidduchim, not to violate kilayim. What exactly is the din over here? It's a very difficult din. You have a shivcha harufa. What does that mean? Necharetes liyah. She's married to a person. Who is the person? Is the person, the Mishnah says, she's miuchedes le'eved ivri. Is it to be taken literally, dafke eved ivri, or necharetes to a Jew? And it doesn't have to be an eved ivri. It can even be a ben chorin also. And Ebediri is Mutta B'Shiv Chachnayis, the Ben Karin is not Mutta B'Shiv Chachnayis. It's not clear in the Gemara. Some insist, in Achreinim there's a discussion on this, some insist that it's only if she's Miuchedes Le Ebediri who's Mutta Bo. But if she's Miuchedes Le Ben Karin, then you won't have the whole din. Ben Karin is Ostapo. Why should she be considered even a form of an Eshishish? And others say no, that strictly speaking, Ebediri and that Ben Chorin have the same status as far as making her into a Shivcha Harufa. She's married to another. How can she be married? A Shivcha Knainis is Enkidush and Topsimbo. So the Mishnah increases, has the Machloikis Atanoim regarding the Shivcha Harufa. Is she a Chetzi Shivcha the Chetzi Bat Chorin? Or is she a Shivcha Gemuro? So we pass on that she's a Chetzi Shivcha the Chetzi Bat Chorin because it says the half day, the half day, lo nivdosa. So we translate that peduya ve'ena peduya. V'havdei she was niftis, lo nivdosa she was not niftis. So is she or is she not? If we say she's partially, she is peduya, and partially not peduya. She's a chetze shivcha, a chetze bascharit. The Minchas Chinuch was not the originator of that concept. The concept exists in the Mishnayos. You have every so often discussions of chatz yeved v'chatz mecharon, and the Mishnah says the way we understand this pasuk is a pasuk in the Chumash. That's what the Shivcha Harufa is. She's a Chetze Shivcha. A Chetze Batchon doesn't mean 50-50. It means part Peduya and part is Zeni Peduya. And although a Shivcha Knainis is Zeni Kiddush and Topsimbo, but there's a Mikzah species Kiddush. It's called Kiddushay Osham. The Kiddush can lead up to a Chiyav Osham. Usually when a nation says is Mizane, both the Boil and the Nivellas are Chayav Nisan. Here it's a special din that the Nivellas, the chorus see she gets Malkus, and the Boel, the heaviest Hashem al Hashem al Pesach al Moedei al Hashem, he has to bring in an Hashem Shivcha Harufa. Rashi quotes on the pasuk that the Hashem Shivcha Harufa applies Bein Meshogig Bein Memezid, an unusual case. Usually you only bring a korban for an aver that was violated Meshogig, not Memezid. Here he's chayiv the Hashem Shivcha Harufa, even if he violated the aver of the Memezid. What about the Malkus of the Shivcha Harufa? The Pashto says that she's only chayiv malchus if she violated the aver of the mezid. If she violated the shogeg, you never have a chayiv malchus. So there's a very difficult pirush on Mishnayos lo Harambam on the opening Mishnah in the Sechah Shabbos of all places. He doesn't have it on Krisus, where it should be in the pirush on Mishnayos. The Mishnayos and Krisus talk about the din of Shivcha Harufa. He doesn't have it in the Arach Hazok. Only in the opening pirush on Mishnayos on Shabbos, he writes that the Shivcha Harufa is loiko. She gets malchus even if she violated the aver of the shogeg. Very strange. Where do you ever have a person getting an Oynish Agruf for violating an Aver B'Shegi? Very strange. The only other place you have such a discussion is the first Daf and Tmura. Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph and Tmura has a discussion of a Gemara which is later in Tmura, towards the end of the Masechta, where the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, in Hamer Yomer. Why the Kefal Hashem Hamer Yomer? The Rabbis is Hashogi Kemezit. That the Dinim of Tmura apply even B'Shegi. Which Dinim of Tmura apply even B'Shegi? There are two dinim in Tmura. One din that the one who makes Tmura is loike, and another din, that the Tmura is chal. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that if a person makes Tmura, even b'shegik, he didn't even realize that he's doing an Aveira. nonetheless, the tamura will be nitras. It will be chav. But to say that the fellow gets malchus by violating an aver b'shogeg, how can that be? So Tosfos has one opinion that yes, that that's what it means. That you get malchus for violating the aver of tamura b'shogeg. Very weird. Why should these be from all of the tariyak mitzvahs and from all the shin tamach elai sesei? Why should these one or two be singled out? The shivcha harufa should be loike even b'shogeg. The one who does tamura should be loike even b'shogeg. Very strange. The pashtus is certainly not so. And the Torah has the dinim of Orla and at the Revai. The first 3 years is Orla, it's also Bafil Banor. The fourth year he's supposed to bring the Paris to Yerushalayim and at the Revai. And if not, then you pay to the Paris. Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. So the Gemara Darshan is Kodesh Hilulim, as if it were written Hilulim, that you can be paid it. And then it says Vashana Achamishis, Tochlu as Piriyo Lahos Lachem Tvos Ani Hashem Lachem. What does that mean? Whatever grows in the fifth year need not be eaten in Yerushalayim. It's mutter. You can eat it wherever you want. The Rambam quotes a pirush from the Gaonim, which he says is absolutely wrong, where they translated the pasuk as follows: Vashana harviz yikol piryo kodesh hilulim lashem. Whatever grows in the fourth year is neter revai, and it's kodesh. And if you want to eat it chutz liYerushalayim, you have to be poded. Hilulim means chilulim. You have to be mechalalit. And after you poded the pirush neter revai, then when are you allowed to eat in chutz liYerushalayim? Vashana hamishis tochlu as piryo. You can only eat the Paris net the Revai after Pidyon Chutz Yerushalayim if you wait till the fifth year. So the Rambam says that that's ridiculous. That's not pshat on the Pasuk. The Pasuk means you can be paid the net the Revai in the fourth year and then you eat it Chutz Yerushalayim in the fourth year. Whatever grows in the fifth year, Tochlos period, you can eat it without any Pidyon at all. He says that's a distortion of the pshat on the Pasuk. Where in the world did the Gaonim get such an Einstein from this? You have to be a genius. Where did they get such an Einstein? The answer is they weren't such geniuses. It's a Talmud Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Perek Mashuach Mechama and the end of Soto. There's the text that has a little bit dinam about war. So it says about the Chorzim Meyorcha Al Mechama Mihu Yishasher, not the Kerem Velo Chilolo. It speaks about Chilolo, that Pidyam Net the Revai. So the Yerushalmi has a Machloikis Amarayim, how to read Chat in the Pasuk. So there's one opinion in Yerushalmi like that. That the Paris net the Revai, that one was paid in the fourth year, may only be eaten chutz liYerushalayim if you wait till the fifth year. The Rambam paskins not so. The Rambam paskins the other way. The Pasuk Pshat and Pasuk is certainly the other way. And the Torah has the dinim of Hashchosus pas Rosh and Hashchosus pas Hazokon. That's the question. By pas Hazokon it says Loi Sashchis. You're not permitted to do Hashchosus. So the Gemara Marcus learns that it's only forbidden with giluach sheyesh bo hashchosu, which means with a tar. So we assume if you use some of the shavas are permissible, maybe some of them are not permissible. If it's a giluach sheyesh bo hashchosu, so then it's permissible. What about lo sakifu pas roshchem? What about hakofas pas roshchem? Never says lo sashchis. Says lo sakifu. So that's a machlokes tesis in the Rambam. The Rambam quotes a brisa at a sefta. Just like it's only forbidden with a tar, just like one is permitted to shave off his beard if he doesn't use a razor, so he's permitted to shave off the pas harosh also if he doesn't use a razor. That's how the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam puts a dinam of pace in Hilchos Avodah Zarah because he claims in the Moreh Nevuchim, and he writes, they repeat the same in the Yad HaZaka, that the reason why the Torah prohibits cutting off the pace and shaving the beard with a razor is because the galochim used to do like that. That's what they call galochim. It used to be mgaleach. Is to shave off their beards, is to shave off their payas. The Torah forbids us to act like the galoch, it's like chukas agoyim of the Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam quotes there in the end of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, quotes this to Sefta, that Akofas Pasa Rosh is only forbidden if you use a tar. Shalot the tar is mutar. Our practice is clearly not so. People shave with an electric shave, they don't cut off the payas. So we follow the Balei Ataisis. The Balei Ataisis have a right from the Gemara Beferish in Nazir. The Talmud Bavli is Beferish against the Rambam. That's the Pella. Why did the Rambam decide to paskin like the Tosefta against the Talmud Bavli? Talmud Bavli Tosefta has in the middle of Nazir, of the Ferish Gemara, which is against that Tosefta. That Hakof has pasal Rosh is forbidden, even Shaloi B'tar. So many dinim. It's a big seder. Parashas Kedoshim, big seder.